My first guest today will be poet Joan Logie, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the second segment when my guest will be Mary Martin, Executive Director of the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, and Hannah Padilla, Director of Behavior at the shelter. Welcome, Joan.
Thank you.
I want to first say that you are, for those who don't know who you are, hard to imagine in our area. Joan is a well-known, much-loved, much-published poet here, a former poet laureate of Santa Fe. And I want to say right off the bat, before we get going here, that you have a wonderful workshop coming up on Sunday, sponsored by the Jewish Historical Society. You're going to be doing a free reading of poetry with a Jewish theme at 1:30 Sunday at Temple Beth Shalom. And after that, at 2:30, there'll be a two-hour writing workshop with you at a very reasonable fee. So if you would like to have more information about that, you can call Joy Rosenberg of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society at 982-6161 or email her at joy.rosenberg@sftbs.org. So welcome, Joan. I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for having all the details on my reading.
Well, it sounds more complicated than it is. Basically, it's a reading followed by a workshop.
Yes.
So I want to know, I've never actually heard this, Joan. How did you become a poet?
Oh, that question. My mother worked full time. My mother had a beauty shop. My father and she were both in business in downtown Pittsburgh. But they knew the value of books and education, although they were high school educated themselves. And I was surrounded by books. I belonged to book clubs. My mother read me Dr. Seuss. But I was mostly alone reading. And I still have the books of poetry, Robert Louis Stevenson, A Child's First Book of Poetry, those kinds of things. So it came out of my solitude and my inclinations.
Yeah.
And I love poems, but I didn't really start writing them. You know, people say I wrote since I was 7. I didn't really start writing until high school. I wrote one poem in junior high, and then I wrote in high school and belonged to a creative writing club. And from then on, I wrote. I identified with the beatniks.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, the 60s guys. And did you study poetry in college?
Yes. We didn't have a creative writing major. I was an English lit major, but we had classes in creative writing. Yeah, I did.
Where did you go?
Tufts University in Medford, Mass.
Uh-huh. And so have you, how have you made your living while you've been a poet?
Well, I always tell my students when they say I want to be a writer, I mean, the creative life takes a creative approach to life. I've done mostly artist-in-residence kinds of things. I started volunteering at my children's little John Hyson school. It was a Presbyterian mission school in Chimayo.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia Hudson let the parents participate, and I started teaching poetry there because that was my longing. Mm-hmm. So for 2 years I volunteered. We made books of the kids' writing. Then I got hired by New Mexico Arts as a poet in the schools in the 80s. And so I've been going into classrooms. Now I've taught from kindergarten into nursing homes. I teach at UNM Los Alamos, the UNM branch up there.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to Europe, so I say I've been from Chimayo to Zagreb
as a poet.
Yes,
so it is possible.
Yeah,
for all those young people out there yearning for that creative life.
Yeah. Everyone seems like a fluke. It doesn't feel like, you know, how did this happen?
Uh huh. Yeah. So tell me about the how did this idea for this workshop and this reading come about?
Well, I think we have to start with the idea for the book Another Desert. Another Desert is an anthology of 28 poems that Miriam Sagan and I concocted. It was published in 1998, so it's already 16 years old. It's been in its second printing for a long time, still in print from Sherman Asher Press. I know Diane Breyer, the wonderful artist who is my neighbor, and a tour bus of Jewish sightseers came to her house, and she invited me to come and read poems. And she has all these wonderful pieces of paintings and pieces of art about the hidden Jews, the crypto Jews. And as we were having this experience with the busload of tourists, I saw in my mind the book.
Wow.
I saw the title, the cover. No, I didn't see the title. I saw the cover, the color of it, and I thought Sherman Asher would be interested.
Wow.
But I didn't know what would be inside of it. So it was a New Year's morning. Miriam and her husband had spent the night at our house, and we were just sitting talking. I said, Miriam, I have the vision of a book, but I don't know what's in it. She said, Jewish anthology, want a collaborator. Boom. And the book was out. That was January. The book was out by that fall. We invited people that we knew were writing. We got Sherman Asher on board. And I think it's a real, it's kind of a classic. And I can say that because it's so removed from me right now. And I have a few poems in it. And it's quite a few poets. Miriam Sagan was going to be reading with me, and unfortunately she had illness in her elder generation and had to cancel. So it, for those of you who were expecting to hear from her, I just wanted to let you know.
Thanks. We're hoping that Miriam's situation turns out well, and I'm sorry she couldn't be here as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the book is Another Desert, and it's Jewish poetry of New Mexico. Who knew?
I know. And it was great because when it came out, it was right when they had a show of the Jewish pioneers at the History Museum, and we sold many, many copies.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. So you guys decided, the Jewish Historical Society came to you and said, let's do a workshop, or... Did you go to them?
They sort of knew we were out there. One of my friends is on the board. That may have helped. Melinda Hess is on the board. That may have helped. But somehow they just thought about us again. I think we had read right when the book came out. But as I said, it's been 16 years, so it hasn't worn out yet.
So does a lot of your poetry have what you'd think of as a Jewish theme?
I would say a percentage of it. I think it's always, it's sort of the backstory. It's... probably the breath lines, the plaint, the minor key of my life, like Leonard Cohen. I think Leonard Cohen is an optimist compared to the way most people... So that sort of minor plaint that I have, but I would say overtly maybe 5%, 10%, I don't know.
Very interesting. What defines a Jewish theme for you? When you went to do this book especially, how do you define that? I mean, if you're talking about very specific things, you talk that Judith Hill poem we were talking about earlier where she's talking about the man who appears from her childhood with the fish. He was the fishmonger, and she goes into this whole thing. Well, that's very obvious, but is it always so obvious?
Well, I think one of the first things that happened to me when I moved to New Mexico, had my children, and then started to write seriously again, which was in the 80s. I guess the roots thing just came to the surface, and Aunt Clara, my one immigrant great aunt. My parents, I had no grandparents, really. My grandmothers were gone by the time I was born, which is a great loss to me now that I am a grandmother. I can't believe that I didn't have that relationship.
Yeah.
I had great parents, but we had Aunt Clara, and she was from Russia, and she was the one that cooked, and my father would drag us over there for endless Jewish meals that I had mixed feelings about. But when I started writing, she was the one I had to write about, and I wrote about 7 poems about Aunt Clara.
Will you read the one that was in the book?
I will. This was the first one I wrote. Always Aunt Clara. Always Aunt Clara asked in the home for the aged, many Jewish people in New Mexico? Oy vey, what could I say? Now she's dead. Oy ole. The matzo ball moon rises over the Sangre de Cristos on Friday night. Candles at my window, prayers for a life like noodle pudding. In the Temple Sisterhood cookbook, I have recipes marked. Chopped liver was never my favorite. Goes well with green chili. After the Indians came the Spanish. Then Christianity spread like mayonnaise. After a time came the Jews bearing bagels. When next we meet Aunt Clara, I will come riding out of this life on a smoked whitefish, herding kippered herrings, a Jewish rodeo above the Sangre de Cristos, towards the blue tortilla moon, joining you for blintzes, joining Chagall, lighting star candles, shouting, Viva Shalom, Viva Shalom.
I love that, Joan.
Thank you. I love the mix of cultures, and that's, to me, very important. So even the poems that are overtly Jewish in my books, there's always the New Mexico culture and the flavor, because I've lived here for 42 years.
Yeah. Well, and it's universal. You don't have to be Jewish to appreciate that poem, But what I wonder if you remember, when you wrote this, did you think of Aunt Clara and start out saying, I'm going to use food as the through line here?
Well, Aunt Clara was food. She had a business. She had the tiniest apartment. She had a business called Clara's Blintza Kitchen. This was in her later years, where she would make different kinds of blintzes for caterers around Pittsburgh. Her kitchen was the size of a walk-in closet, if that. And so you couldn't think of Aunt Clara. That was my relationship, is that my father would take us there so he could have the old country foods. My father was quite the gourmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And I also liked the Christianity spread like mayonnaise. Because when, especially when we try to think of synonyms or ways of not synonyms, that's not the word I'm looking for.
Similes.
Similes, yes, thank you, for describing Anglo people or Anglo culture here as compared to the Spanish culture or the Jewish culture, whatever. Mayonnaise is always what comes up, right? Tuna fish salad and tuna fish salad and mayonnaise. Yeah.
Thank you for noticing that.
Would you like to read a poem by Miriam?
Oh, I picked one because I'm going to miss her so much, and I know. This is in our book, Another Desert, and this poem is written by Miriam, but it's about coming to my house for Passover. Mm. It's called Passover by Miriam Sagan. Jews must be everywhere, even in La Puebla, New Mexico, where we pass Good Friday pilgrims wearing Walkmans, dusty along the highway. It's Shabbos. The two sets of candles adorn the tables, set with seashells. Seder means the order in which things happen. Egypt means narrows. For plagues, we dip our fingers in the wine. Hail kills your tomato plants. You quarrel with a neighbor about a wall. A friend is unexpectedly in jail. Baby cries in the emergency room. Homeless men sleep in the arroyo, stumble across Paseo to the liquor store. So drink 4 cups of wine. It's only the second time this year Jews must get drunk and lie down with our shoes off on comfortable couches. The children are playing in the dusk. My daughter feeds a large white horse a bunch of golden apples. Desert smells like the sea of sand and wind and something else, clean and scoured. Miriam's well springs within, green oasis that must reappear within our hearts. Voices singing slightly off key. This source of water follows us, despite our exile, wandering.
That's
by Miriam Sagan.
What was the name of that one?
Passover.
Passover. Yeah.
And she, you know, Miriam's well resonates with her name and.
Sure.
And the desert of New Mexico, I think, led us to the title of the book, Another Desert.
Uh-huh. The similarities there between the desert of Israel. Yeah.
And also Miriam's theme, she has a book called Map of the Lost. Her themes are often about immigration, location, for many, many books and many poems in many years.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that, I mean, with the diaspora what it is today, do you think a Lithuanian Jew reading your work would it resonate?
They'd be horrified, I think.
Why?
I've always thought of myself as a not very good Jew, out in the fringes. And this book, to me, is kind of my contribution to my people. But I don't know that it looks... I'm half Lithuanian, half Hungarian.
Oh, how funny that I said that.
Yeah, I am half my father's family. And I always feel like it's the gloomy side and the cheerful side of my character. My father's family wasn't cheerful. My mother's family, the 4 Hungarian sisters, were absolute optimists and bright and shiny. My brother takes after them. I have both at war in my being.
You said you'd brought a couple of your poems. One that was the first, do you think, the first Jewish poem you wrote?
That was the Aunt Clara.
Oh, that was the Aunt Clara.
Yes, that's
one.
Probably the first one I wrote.
Interesting, and I just picked that out of the book.
Yeah.
Oh. And so what was the other one you said?
This is the last Jewish poem I've written.
You mean the most recent?
The most recent one. I mean, I was still working on it this morning.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a week old.
It's a work in progress. We like that.
Yeah, you haven't heard it yet. So I changed the title for this morning. Mm. It's called I Drove Down Guadalupe Street to Get Here.
Okay.
What it's like to be Jewish in New Mexico, where the air is Catholic, where my husband used to be an altar boy, where we make altars in corners of the house, and where I message my 4th cousin's daughter about her friend who is my friend's first cousin. And an image of the Virgin of Guadalupe insists itself into the message, I mean, it won't let go. And later at a funeral at the Guadalupe Church, I feel at home. Aren't we all from one mother? Genesis is the name of my friend's son. and all the beginnings and endings have the same cry and breath. I am so at home here. The deer dance in my brain as I swim 12 laps on December 12th for Guadalupe Day, and my bumper sticker says, "In Guad we trust." And I have eaten atole 100 mornings, as I will today on Sabbath, where I live on the edges as a Jewish New Mexican, hidden and revealed, on my best behavior at the deer dance, at Mass, on Yom Kippur at Ghost Ranch, at Hanukkah with Chabad on the plaza, where it is tricky to light the oil. We shiver and in sacred wind, the wick lights.
That's lovely.
Thank you. It's always lovely. Good to have the last thing you wrote to be able to read it.
Uh-huh.
It has the life of the unlived spoken. I don't know.
Uh-huh. And it sort of brings it to life. And also, if you are still tinkering, you know, it brings up whatever.
Yes, I'm going to change the last line. In Sacred Wind, the wicks light, because it was like more multiple wicks.
Multiple wicks. Many wicks.
Wicks. Yeah.
Have you thought much? One of the things I wondered about is if you feel that there's any sort of connection allegorically or mythologically between Native Americans and Jews.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Did I ask
the
right question?
You should ask the right question.
Oh, good. You have another poem.
I have a poem to respond to.
Oh, wonderful.
And I didn't get to read this. I almost got on Native American Calling once, but they cut me off.
Oh, darn.
Okay. This is dedicated to a woman named Sunny Dooley, who I'm still aware of. She's, I met her in Gallup, and she's a healer storyteller. And this poem is dedicated to Sunny Dooley, and it's called Her First Jew. We walked the track by the Branch College, 1 mile, then two, then Crescent Moon. That story about her life, why she got old in the stretch of youth called Gather Me to You, I won't repeat because it's hers to tell. The dark fell out of the east. I was her first Jew. She told me in the safe space between public bathroom stalls. We ate at Jerry's on Cole Avenue, a place Navajos go. She was my first Navajo, if you count a sit-down meal, sacramental burritos, and I do. I like that she drove to Española, 4 hours for Coke in bottles. That's where you find it, she told her niece. We both know the way Coke tastes on a hot day over the lip of green, polished like sea glass from prying off caps. The snow falls sideways in Gallup, like an old woman sweeping out the corner of the sky. I feel like I might never leave. My car could break down, my family lose my number, and I'd live here above Red Mesa Arts Center with its show about women until I'm given a new name, wearing my white shell earrings, first Jew who took root. My gray hair might fall from my head, and I grow young here next to the library. My plaster heart could crack, revealing a silver heart, inside that a heart of rose quartz, and finally the small passion heart beating pearls of blood. She said right away, I think Navajos and Jews have a lot in common. I was so astonished, I never asked her what, because she said I was her first Jew, though she's met us before, a tribe more hidden than chosen. For her, I would be wise and perfect, a female emblem for standing for what's best in my people. But she's no fool. Knows humans are not perfect, not even Moses. We are the people. God is God and carries perfection for us on the platter of the sky. We share a meal and talk to each other and into a larger listening.
Wow.
Thank you for
asking. Thank you, Joan.
So I think it's the exile.
It's the exile.
And the genocide.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, those things, those kinds of things connect Native Americans and Jews, I think, in a way. Now, this workshop that you're doing on Sunday after your reading, you don't have to be Jewish to appreciate it, right?
Yes, I don't think so at all. I know there's one man who was concerned, and I said, no, we'll write about ancestors, traditions. The workshop is filling, if not full,
okay.
So check it out, you know.
Okay.
But the reading would be wide open, and we'll have books to sell. Ahead of time, I'll be there ahead of time to chat and to sell books, and after, before the workshop.
Excellent. My guest has been Joan Logie, the former poet laureate of Santa Fe, and the co-editor with Miriam Sagan of Another Desert, Jewish Poetry of New Mexico. Joda's going to be doing a free reading Sunday of poetry with a Jewish theme, including her own and works from the anthology, at 1:30 p.m. at Temple Beth Shalom on Barcelona Street. And that will be followed at 2:30 by a two-hour writing workshop that Joan will teach, which has a reasonable fee. And if you want to know more about that, call Joy Rosenberg of the New Mexico Jewish Historical Society at 982-6161 or email her at joy.rosenberg@sftbs.org. So, Joan, did you have one more you want to read?
I have
go
a
for
haiku.
It. The haiku, go for it.
That mixes, it's three lines and it has three religions. Buddha on the porch, a yarmulke of snow on Christmas Eve.
Perfect.
That's my favorite poem right
now.
Oh,
thank you so much for coming on the show
my
today,
pleasure.
Joan.